start with public comment. And I think it's fitting that we begin with John Walsh.
Microphone, Mr. Mayor, we can't hear you.
Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me now?
Testing 1, 2.
We'll begin with public comment.
Yeah, now it's okay.
I said,
well, it was on from the beginning, but yeah, I guess they had the light on, but not the music. But nobody was home. Nobody home back there. Let's begin with John Walsh. John?
Are you around?
I guess you lost that one. Public comment? Dina Leichnitz or Leichnitz, Associated Students.
Hi. I am from the ASO, which is the Associated Students Organization of LACC. And we are here today to talk about the ITAP program, which is now defunct at our school. And we are calling to reinstate it because it's very much needed at our school. I am a single mother. I am trying to take care of my son, and the ITAP helps me to get to my classes, and to sit there and penalize the most economically disadvantaged people in favor of the businesses, which gets a much better deal than what the community college gets, seems totally unfair and unreasonable, and the whole thing needs to be changed. I'm a political science major. I'm about to go into law, so you will be seeing me here. And
thank you very much, and big supporter of that program. I helped to negotiate the last two
extensions.
So we'll work with the community colleges on that, and staff can follow up. It's an important program, and one. You have a cute son, by the way. Jaden Ledkins.
You called me already, Mr. Mayor.
Beg your pardon?
You called me already.
I called you already and you weren't in the room, and I'll call you.
Before 9 a.m. There's no quorum.
It was 9 a.m. I'll call you again, but not on your dime, on mine. So with that, Jaden Ledkins.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to speak here in public comment. My name is Jaden Ledkins. I'm the president of the Associated Students Organization of Los Angeles City College. The reason why we want to address the board today is something of a great concern to us. We've been trying to get the Metro Tap card back at our school, but in negotiations with Metro, we've discovered that to have the ITAP or a buy-down program for us, Metro wants us to subsidize the program. However, we have many business leaders that we've been in contact with who have the BTAP program for their employees, and they're not required to subsidize their program, which we feel is discriminatory and unfair to us. So we plead for you as a board.
So, but it's a student program.
To address this in your next meeting. We request to have an agenda item for your next meeting to discuss a more proactive approach of having a TAP program for the colleges. We have students who are unemployed, and thank you.
Yeah, we'll,
and we want to make some change.
We'll be working on it. I'm well aware of the issue. Linda Tong.
While Ms. Tong's coming up, Mr. Mayor, maybe we get a report back on the negotiations with the various campuses and from the CEO
at the
and where we are on that.
Yeah. Absolutely, please.
Sure.
Linda Tong?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the time. And I am fully aware that you said that you're going to address this issue again. And I know the pilot program started at LACC. I'm a graduate of Los Angeles City College, but I've also been in various student leaderships from in their associated student organization to the just a past student trustee for the district as well. we all know it's an ongoing situation. We've been hit by many budget cuts at the school. Many of the students within the district are at part-time status, so the unit level should be lowered down to 9 units, not 12 units. Los Angeles City College has a high ridership of 93% when they did use the ITAP. Amongst Pierce College, Los Angeles Tech, and Southwest College as well. If individual colleges could at least get back onto the program so these students could get back to college so they could graduate and bring back to some kind of economic development back in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Malcolm Klugman.
I noticed that none of the agenda items deal with the trolley, the downtown trolley, so I thought I'd talk about it. I think it's going to be a terrific idea.
More fun 3 days.
I'm not sure. Is it planned that there only really needs to be one track to make less congestion and have a number of, like, 4 cars going around rather than building 2 tracks and having them go in the separate direction? Because if it only takes, like, 15 minutes to make the loop, then you only really need the one car, but you'd be able to, every 4 or 5 minutes, be sure that a train was coming by. I'd like to see it, make sure it goes to the convention center, goes by City Hall and the library, and I hope you build it as soon as possible because I think it's a lot better value than this regional connector, which I think is a $1 billion boondoggle.
Christopher Sutton.
My name is Christopher Sutton. I'm an attorney for George and Diana Brookhaven, Excalibur Property Holdings. We are challenging the Gold Line Foothill Extension Authority's legal status, and I have a copy of my comments. I may have an original and 15 copies I'd like to leave for the board, as well as one copy of our lengthy objections to the Gold Line's operations that were submitted with the Gold Line last week. We believe that the MTA needs to schedule an agenda item in September and review in detail our objections. That we believe that the Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority is engaging in deceit and waste in a way that violates the contract they have with the MTA. The MTA plans to transfer hundreds of millions of dollars to the Gold Line, and this money could be better spent on other higher density, higher ridership transit projects. And we believe the Gold Line is in violation of state law, in violation of their contract with the MTA, and the MTA needs to terminate its relationship with the Gold Line. Thank you very much.
Arnold Sachs. Arnold Sachs. Pepe, or
thank you, Mayor. My name is Shane Pepe, and I am the Executive Vice President for the Associated Students Organization for LACC. As a full-time student, I'll say a former veteran, with not having the ITAP, creates a lot of problems, not just for students, but for other veterans at LACC, and we really want to hash out a better deal with the ITAP in conjunction with the B plan. We're just looking for a fair treatment as everyone else is, because students use the ITAP just as much as people who use the B plan. Thank you.
Rosa Miranda.
We need 2 more.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Rosa Miranda y soy miembro del Sindicato de Pasajeros.
Good morning, my name is Rosa Miranda and I'm a member of the Bus Riders Union.
Bienvenido, señor alcalde, por ser el presidente de esta mesa por el próximo año.
Welcome back, Mr. Villarraigosa, Mayor Villarraigosa, now that you'll be the chair for the following year.
Queremos su apoyo para el... para que haya participación pública. Una de las cosas que le pedimos a usted...
So we would like to ask for your support in increasing public participation in the following ways.
queremos que el, en el periodo del comentario público, como lo es ahora, este comentario público general ocurra al principio de la reunión para asegurar que nos escuchen y asegúrense de que haya la mayoría de miembros en esta mesa.
We'd like to continue to have public comment at the beginning of the meeting like today, and we'd also like for you to begin the meeting when there is quorum to ensure that the public is heard.
Como lo que está pasando ahorita, no hay los suficientes miembros en esta mesa y queremos que haya la mayoría para podernos escuchar lo que necesitamos.
So today is an example of what we want to shift. There isn't a quorum, so we want to ensure that the public gets heard by a majority of board members.
Queremos que nos proporcionen una mejor traducción con dos traductores. Yo he experimentado en la traducción en el concilio y en la mesa de supervisores y es una traducción exacta.
And we'd also like for you to help us improve the quality of Spanish translation. I've been at the City Council and at the Board of Supervisors where the translation is very exact and precise, and it could be because we're not sure if there's two interpreters, which increases the quality of the interpretation.
También queremos que sea una calidad de interferencia, entonces queremos que se escuche muy bien.
And there's also a lot of interference, so we'd like to ask for you to check on that.
Esperamos su apoyo, señor alcalde.
We look for your support. Thank you.
Don Walsh. Don Walsh.
8 years old, okay? It takes me a little time. Senior of it.
68. Hollywood High. Something to say? HollywoodHighlands.org. Come to us. You know, I wonder. Please do not raise your hand. How many FBI undercover agents are there in the room? We have the issue here is Wi-Fi. You want to put wireless internet on the subways. You've been talking about it. That will allow Albert Abrams, your former commissioner, who was raided for kiddie porn yesterday, and a close friend of yours, it will make kiddie porn available to everybody on the internet at the MTA. We think it's disgraceful. We think that as far as your, we don't believe anything you say, and the only reason he's our friend is because the New York Times did an expose on the racism on MTA buses, and they will soon do an expose of the FBI and you, Mr. Mayor.
Morning to you, Mr. Walsh.
Good morning to your kitty corn friends.
Arnold Sachs? That concludes public comment. Thank you very much. Begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Du Bois. We're awaiting the quorum. Let me begin by thanking the public for the tremendous cooperation that may have surprised some, but did not surprise me during the closure of the Mulholland Bridge on the 405. It worked about as perfect as one could have hoped for, in fact, beyond the expectations of most. I never lost faith that with the kind of effort on the part of the staff, and I want to acknowledge the staff for a tremendous outreach effort. I want to thank the media once again, as I have on a number of occasions with respect to this issue. Without the sunlight that they put on this issue, without the continuous coverage of what could happen if people were to engage in business as usual, get in their car, go to the west side or really any of the areas close by, it could not have worked as beautifully as it did. I think the board should be acknowledged and thanked because, as you know, we all believed and believe strongly that we should make public transit free, the subways, on the light rail lines, busway, the buses in the area, Metrolink, as Mr. Katz has reminded me on a number of occasions, had a surge in ridership. The bike, LA County Bike Coalition, who really encouraged their members to get on a bike, and just the folks at Caltrans, at Kiwi, at the bridge builder. Penn Hall, the LAPD, the LA Fire Department, Caltrans, the Highway Patrol, everybody worked together in a way that I think really defied most projections, and I just want to acknowledge and thank the staff for that and everybody involved. So with that, we will have Mr. Katz say a few words.
The, you know, one of the concerns, thank you, Mr. Mayor, one of the concerns that you now hear, it's always fascinating when something works, because you have people saying, what were they all excited about? There was no traffic, which obviously was the point. One of the things that I think that we found most interesting in looking at it wasn't just in the immediate area. Metrolink trains between LA and Orange County double and triple capacity in both directions as people chose not to come into the area. There were a lot of activities on both sides of the hill where Chambers of Commerce, LA Business Council, VICA, others did local promotions in local communities, buy local, shop local, and I heard a lot of good comments of that. I also had a lot of comments, as I know you've heard, people saying, could we do this every weekend in Los Angeles or once a month at least, because a lot of people felt like they had permission to not go on the freeway, and it was the best weekend they had since they lived in L.A. So one thing we do want to say, there will be a Carmageddon 2, or as you, I think your blog said, Karma Heaven 2 in a year, and people are concerned that folks won't take it as seriously because it works so well. I guess all I can say is rest assured there will be more traffic jams between now and then to remind people of the need, but we're going to also have, a very public campaign and a lot of information and a lot of activities throughout the year reminding people so we can have the same kind of success. But as the mayor said on occasion, it just shows that when folks in L.A. need to come together and get something done, they do in a very, very sensible manner. So, again, I just want to echo what the mayor said to all the first responders and the traffic planners and the Caltrans folks and Metrolink folks and MTA people. You did a really good job and set the bar really high for next time.
Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Tamara, I believe that this experience that we all shared on the weekend of the 17th, 16th of July really just shows that behavioral change really has an important impact on how we are able to have mobility in this region. And I think the lesson learned for me is that if we would spend more time on trying to modify behavior with respect to when we travel, the time of day, and the mode that we travel, I think that we'll have more experiences like this. I can recall back in 1984 when there was a large expectation of, from the population that grew for 2 weeks during the Olympics. And I had the experience of coming downtown during that period of time. I dreaded the thought of coming downtown, but when I got downtown, it was I was able to get from the San Fernando Valley to downtown in about 20 minutes, and a ride that normally takes twice that amount of time. So it just goes to show me that if we would spend more time and more money, invest in transportation demand services, changing behavior, that this region will be able to get around much easier. So I hope this will, is a lesson well learned for us as a policy board talking about transit. It's not just the bricks and mortar. It's not just concrete and rail. It's not just buses. It's really, you know, people making a decision to decide when to get around this county and how to get around this county. And I think it just leads us into another opportunity that we can make our region much more better place to live and work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson, Director Wilson. Why don't we, Mike Miles?
I'd just like to say that it was a success. Is this on?
Yeah.
And traffic on the system was down about two-thirds through the whole system, not just in the 405 area. So that was, the message got out to everybody, so the media did a super job. But also Caltrans was able to capitalize on the closure, and we had about 200 people out there working, doing things that we would not normally be able to do. So it gave us an opportunity to get a lot of work done. We restriped the road, did a lot of cleanup on the ramps, you know, removed a lot of weeds and stuff. So we were able to really capitalize on that closure. So, again, it worked really well all the way around. So we want to thank the public and opportunity. And we're looking forward to the Carmageddon 2, and we're looking at trying to work with MTA and others to try to plan some type of public events where we can get the community involved and maybe do some marathon or bike race or something on the freeway while it's closed, and let the people see what it's like to be out there on that roadway when it's not opened.
I like it. Why don't we go to the CEO's report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First thing I was going to cover, I'll just play off of this issue of the 405. We had a request from Director Ridley Thomas to report on the money, the expenditures which were incurred as a consequence of managing the closure. Altogether, our costs are slightly more than $3 million. About $2 million of that went to the CHP, police and fire, emergency management services, things of that nature. About $900,000, a little over, were incurred by MTA for community relations outreach, freeway service patrol, enhanced bus and rail service, and the like. I will follow up with a written report to the full board on the details of these expenditures. We were all pleased, obviously, by the event, and it was an exciting thing to be part of. Yesterday, we had the Deputy FTA Administrator in town, Teresa McMillan. She spent a great deal of time with MTA staff and board members, the chair and Director Katz on our subway projects, on our various light rail projects, Crenshaw Line in some level of detail. I think a very good and constructive meeting followed by a tour. Want to comment a little bit and ask Michael Turner to go into some detail on the federal budget that was our debt ceiling increase that was just passed. We are in the process now of finding details so that we can assess the impact of this action on the federal transportation program, which will affect, of course, the highway program, new starts, possibly high-speed rail. Looks like there's going to be a cut. We hope a fairly small cut in the program, but we'll see. There's also the issue with the FAA having been furloughed, unable to therefore issue the clearances for the approvals for the Crenshaw Line treatment along Aviation Boulevard. But with that, Mr. Turner, please.
Thank you. And as Mr. Leahy mentioned, there are really three items that come out of this the process we've seen with the increase in the debt ceiling. The first, as he mentioned, is that we're looking to experience a 3% cut in federal funds. The debt ceiling agreement reduces federal funding back to the 2011 levels, and that results in, as I mentioned, a 3% cut to federal funds. And we're currently looking through the budget to analyze what that means for our various projects and programs. Secondly, as Mr. Leahy mentioned, the Congress did not extend the FAA bill, which means FAA effectively has no authorization to operate. And as you mentioned, that affects our ability to move forward on the clearances for the Crenshaw project. What that then leads to is a concern that the transportation bill, which expires on September 30th, could experience the same fate. And that is very significant for the nation, because if the federal transportation bill is not reauthorized, the federal gas tax is not reauthorized. And that would see a tremendous reduction in funds throughout the country for transportation projects and programs. We're reaching out to all of our delegation, to a variety of stakeholders. This has become a significant concern for groups such as APTA, ASHTO, the National League of Cities, the League of Counties, and we are working with all of those groups. The one issue with respect to the federal program is that if the federal gas tax does expire or reduce, then the state has a provision in law that requires the state to automatically increase its gas tax to compensate for that loss. So we are reaching out to our partners in Sacramento to make sure they are, number one, aware of the issue that's pending in Congress, and then, number two, to take whatever actions might be necessary in Sacramento to compensate for the loss of federal funds. So with that, I will...
On that point.
Mr. Katz?
On that point, Mike, I'm sure most people aren't aware of that provision you just discussed, at least particularly new members of the legislature, folks that don't follow transportation. It's an automatic, or it takes legislative action or an executive order from the governor to trigger that provision?
Well, we believe it's automatic because it is in the Revenue and Taxation Code that the state tax should be automatically increased to compensate for the state loss. For the loss of federal funds.
Okay, so.
We believe it's automatic, so but we're reaching out to everyone.
We should start those conversations with the governor's office, obviously.
And we've been doing that.
Okay, thanks. And CTC as well.
Not the CTC at this point. We're reaching out to everyone in the legislature, the governor's office, and particularly the Board of Equalization, because we believe it's the Board of Equalization that has to make the change.
Who's chair of the board right now? Is John
Horton? Jerome Horton, yeah, okay. I believe, is current chair. Right.
Let's talk about that and reaching out on both CTC and Board of Eq.
Yes.
See how we can help.
Sure.
Okay.
Your quorum has arrived.
We have a quorum present, as I understand it.
Yes.
Mr. Lee Thomas in the back?
So, Mayor, may I ask a couple questions to
yes.
Ms. Turner, are you and your other federal staff here, they can talk a little bit about what's happening with the progress of our moving forward with the America Fast Forward program? Are you in position to talk about that, or is there someone here that can talk about it?
Rafi, unfortunately, is not here today, so I could talk just generally about it. I mean, we continue to gain support from various organizations around the country. I think the last few weeks have really seen Congress focusing on the debt ceiling. So there's not been anything in particular that I would want to highlight, except I would note that Senator Wyden has introduced a measure that would reinstate some form of bonding that actually lapsed with the Build America bonds. So we've been working very closely with Senator Wyden on that particular proposal, and then I think we've highlighted in the past how both the Transportation Infrastructure Committee and the Senate EPW Committee have both endorsed America Fast Forward, in particular the TIFIA recommendations are proposed to be included in both of those bills.
Well, given now that the debt ceiling debate is behind us, it appears to me that Congress, both the House and the Senate, will be more focused on job creation. And I know from our point of view, the mayor has taken the lead in trying to educate the members of the Conference of Mayors on how they should all work together to push forward on expansion of the TIFIA program.
Yes.
and to also get the Congress through some bill to authorize the bonding capacity for agencies like the MTA. The MTA has its own dollars, but certainly those dollars could be leveraged to 7 to 10-fold. We have the ability to bond those dollars that we have locally and have the federal government take up the debt service and with respect to the interest payment on that. So I would hope that your shop will be more aggressive, more assertive, and more strategic. And now going back to the members of the House and the members of the Senate and the White House, because all of them have a need at this time, I believe, to create jobs. And what better way to create jobs than an infrastructure program like what the mayor has been promoting for quite some time. So I would look forward to you and your staff coming back to us to let us know where you're at in that progress. There's a 5-week recess now. And during this recess period, I don't think we should be at recess. I think we, as an agency, and you, as our staff and our lobbyists back in D.C., need to really be on your on top of your game.
Your comment. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Your comments are well received, Director. I think, as you mentioned, the mayor has been at the forefront of this charge, and we're working very closely with all of our board members in that effort. And your points about the recess are true. I mean, there are no recesses in our department. You know, just because the legislature is on recess or the House or Senate might be on recess doesn't mean we are. And I think your point about the opportunities in Congress now that Administration, Congress do pivot towards focusing on jobs, then that should be noticed to us that's another opportunity, and our efforts should reflect that.
With that, if the board secretary would please call the roll. We'll call the roll first.
Here.
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 Quorum is present. Public comment on item number 4. Public comment on item number 4. None. I do have John Walsh.
John Walsh, HollywoodHighlands.org. We are going to D.A. Cooley asking for an investigation of Carmageddon, known as Scamageddon, and to the U.S. Attorney. The 53-hour schedule was bogus. They finished it, and they knew they were going to finish it at least 14 hours early. The press conference set up at Sunday morning at 11:30 on the slope was already set up for the mayor. What did they do? As a result of finishing, and that's illegal, an illegal contract, because it had too much padding in it. The contract had 18 hours of padding in it. And then Peter Kiewit, the contractor, gets a $300,000 bonus, and he dismisses a crew and saves $1 million. This was illegal. And if you give him the $300,000, it is a federal offense. It was a phony work schedule. It was padded, and everybody knows it, including the L.A. Times.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walsh. Arnold Sachs? This is on item 4.
Thank you. Good morning. Arnold Sachs. I understand, I would imagine the CHP costs were fixed costs because they had to schedule personnel. Will there be a refund because the project finished earlier? And my concerns, you brought up conversation, part of your conversation was with the federal, the debt ceiling. And the gentleman mentioned that he's having conversations with the legislation of California and the governor of California. Yet the state of California has got like billions of dollars in debt. What about conversations with our people in Congress? And what do you expect to get from the state of California based on their ability to balance their budget in a timely manner? The Crenshaw line being threatened by the shutdown of the FAA, for 20 years it sat in a file, and all of a sudden the FAA shuts down. Oops! What the hell are we going to do now? We can't build. We can't get answers. 20 years later.
Why don't you stay here, Mr. Sachs? You also
one other thing,
have
sir?
Comment. You're finished for that one, but you also have comment on item three.
Item three. Your report, sir, on the Carmageddon. My problem is, with all the expert people that we have working, according to the leadership pronunciations, why nobody was able to figure out putting on an extra piece of equipment would cut down that ability, that time schedule. Why nothing was figured out that way. One other thing, sir. Before you were announced as chair, there was a meeting at the City Hall. And at that meeting, there were appointees for the housing agency in Los Angeles. And there were several people that showed up. About 15 people showed up. And all of them that came in, they were all part of the house, getting housing funds, mentioned that they had a meeting with you in December regarding some discrepancies in the housing agency. And you mentioned that you weren't going to appoint anybody to that agency until those discrepancies were figured out. They came in and they said,
thank you very much.
You appointed the people right after the meeting. We're looking forward to that leadership here.
I'm going to do this in 30 seconds.
You've
speaking for all of the city, with all of these FBI investigations, with the corruption in your administration, please, for the sake of Los Angeles, resign from the MTA chairmanship and resign as the mayor of the city of Los Angeles. Give Eric Garcetti a chance. It's sad what's happened. People, we all were on your side many years ago. Please, resign before you are indicted. Maybe they can give you, Obama will give you a ambassadorship to Mexico.
You actually have 16 seconds.
We know what you can do with it.
Why don't you share with me what we could do with it?
You throw me out of the meeting.
Thank you very much. Let me begin by thanking and acknowledging Supervisor Kanabe for his work chairing the MTA board last year. Under his guidance, we made, I believe, significant progress on a number of important issues. We were able to make a joint presentation at the first bipartisan and maybe the only bipartisan hearing on anything this year with Chairman Mica and Senator Boxer, and his work in working the other side of the aisle has been very important for the progress of America Fast Forward and our 3010 plan. I want to acknowledge and thank him for his leadership. I don't have to tell you that despite the jubilation with, and I guess that would be an appropriate word, with the fact that we've raised the debt ceiling and averted a default. The question of jobs is still front and center on the national agenda. It's true in every city across the country. And I think it's up to transit agencies like our own to lead the way, to move us forward. Our agenda isn't just about traffic and quality of life. It's about addressing some of the most important challenges that we face as a region and as a nation. It's job creation, congestion, the environment, and in the case of Los Angeles, remaking the city in the 21st century. And Our top objective has to be to focus, and I think Mr. Wilson said it very well, on implementing and building all of the voter-approved Measure R projects, accelerating them in the way that we are trying to do on the Crenshaw Line, Subway, the Regional Connector, all of the Exposition Phase 2. We'll be beginning construction on that later on in the year in conjunction with the Expo Construction Authority. We'll open Expo Phase 1 this winter. And then, of course, when the environmental studies for Crenshaw LAX Regional Connector and the Westside Subway are approved, we'll be on our way to creating that world-class transportation system. World-class transportation system that has as its heart Union Station. We're preparing the master plan for Union Station to meet our future transit and high-speed rail passenger demands, and I know there are some issues with that currently. But I think one of the things that this agency has demonstrated is a resiliency, a way to figure it out whenever there's a block or a blockade, if you will. We figure out a way to get around it. And I want to begin our efforts to develop a comprehensive series of transit-oriented neighborhood plans that will transform us from a car capital to a transit-friendly and more sustainable place with more options. I think, must continue to make sure that our bus system is world-class and meets needs of the transit dependent. So be introducing a motion that asks the CEO and the board to approve innovative and improved bus service plan. Last month, we launched the beginning of the county's voluntary toll lanes program, and I want to acknowledge Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, who was then State Senator Ridley Thomas, who really carried the ball in the Senate and the legislature and helped along with Fabian Nunez, the Speaker of the Assembly back then, to move this project forward. And I said and have been saying recently, when we actually put into effect these hot lanes on the 110 and the 10, I think all of the naysayers will realize it's the best way to make our toll lanes more efficient, to use them more strategically, to finally address what virtually every planning expert anywhere in the world has talked about, and that is that congestion pricing, particularly in places like this where we're so addicted to the single passenger automobile, is the future. And I want to thank Mark Ridley Thomas, Director Thomas, for his leadership in that effort. When we complete the 405 lane, that will be another HOV lane, that'll be another candidate after our year of implementing the 110 and the 10, another opportunity for us to look at hot lanes and ultimately create a system of hot lanes all throughout the region. All of these efforts create desperately needed jobs, and again, Director Ridley Thomas was in the legislature when we had to convince a few diehard legislators living in another era that the trade-off for design-build was a trade-off that, on the one hand, would eliminate, and it did, 70 state engineer jobs, but created 18,000 private sector jobs. It boggles the mind that we even had to go through that. As you know, we'll be looking at project labor agreements and career training paths needed to leverage our MTA projects in the city of Los Angeles. We, with our project labor agreements, not only have labor peace, but importantly, have been able to get our projects on time and under budget, and importantly, hire people in our city. And, you know, the fact that the taxpayers of this county have paid for Measure R, they ought to be able to reap the benefits of it. And having a requirement that the people that a large percentage of the people come from this county is a great way to put them back to work and reward them for supporting Measure R in the first place. And so there are a number of areas that we're looking at to focus on jobs, and I know that Mr. Ridley Thomas will be speaking to some of those later on today. In addition to that, we're looking at a green construction program. We'll be moving forward this winter and approving the I-710 South Corridor study that Ms. Du Bois has worked very, very hard on. You know, the fact that we move 44% of the seaborne goods coming from our ports makes this project a win-win. It will help reduce truck and vehicle congestion in one of the busiest cargo corridors, and it's a great partnership with the ports, Caltrans, MTA, and SCAG. And finally, I want to thank the board secretary because beginning this month, we'll create an email address for everyone to contact the board. The email address is boardsecretary@metro.net. In the digital age, we should be able to reach us with a touch of a button. And with that, we will move item 64. I understand that my colleague and Member Perry is here somewhere. And due to her schedule, I'd like to move this out of order so that we could speak to the item. Councilmember Perry, how are you today?
Fine, thank you very much, and thank you for allowing me to speak on this item that is very important not only to downtown Los Angeles but to the 9th District, and this is the renewal of the proposed Arts District, Property-Based Business Improvement District. I've been a public employee since 1990, so I remember a time where there were no BIDs, and the time that they became established, they made a dramatic difference in the safety and cleanliness of our public right-of-way in the streets, and on behalf of the property owners, and the property owners were willing to assess themselves to fill a gap that the city could no longer fill. So now we look to renew this BID for 2012 to 2016. There is a technical issue on which you will be voting or discussing today, but I wanted to go on the record on behalf and in support of the renewal of this BID, and I hope that you are able to find favorably on the issue in 64B so that the BID can continue its process in towards renewal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Let me ask the members, we have a lot of comments on the public comment on this, and I'm assuming it's all in support.
Assholes wouldn't come on.
No?
All right.
Then we'll go through. Mr. Klugman?
Wait, which means?
Yes.
First of all, start these meetings at 9 o'clock and penalize these people who don't show up on time, and some of them who show up and don't really care that they're here anyhow, like Mr. Ridley Thomas. Okay.
That wasn't necessary.
No, but he's over there talking to people, never seems to be sitting paying attention. That's not right.
Thank you very much.
All right, let me talk about what I want to talk about, which is the Arts District. I approve of spending the money to improve it so that someday the MTA will provide service so I can actually get over there. If you look on the systems map, there is no bus or anything that regularly goes to the business to the Arts District, where there are new restaurants and new stores that I'd like to see, but I don't want to walk 3 miles to get there. So please bring some service to the Arts District so I can see these improvements.
Thank you very much. I do want to ask that when you come up and speak, and obviously you have a lot of latitude, that you speak to the agenda item and not to extraneous issues like the one that you just did. Arnold Sachs?
Good morning.
Thank you. On deck is Kate Bartolo.
Good morning. Regarding the comments that Honest Jan Perry just mentioned, that she remembers when there were no BID districts. That's because the areas were under Community Redevelopment Agency direction. And because Community Redevelopment Agencies, their idea was to turn blighted areas into, improve blighted areas and provide low-income housing, well, once the area was bought and development started, the redevelopment agencies were discontinued because the bids don't have that same proposition where they have to contribute affordable housing. So maintaining the bids allows for the promise to be broken that was supposedly being made between the CRA and the public to provide affordable housing. So it is interesting, and the government agencies always will vote for the bids because they don't want to have to provide the affordable housing that they destroyed.
Officer Jack Richter? Kate Bartolo first. I'm sorry. Ms. Bartolo? Thank you very much. When we call, if you can be a little closer. There you go.
Hello, board members. I'm here as an individual with first-hand direct experience in downtown business improvement districts. Previously, as one of the founding members for 2.5 years of the Arts District BID, as a partner in the Core Group and CityView's investment and risk of capital in nearly 400 live-work units, out of a total Core CityView investment of 581 units, inclusive of retail with Earth Cafe's commissary restaurant that created 125 jobs. I'm here as a downtown urban pioneer who has devoted much of my life to economic development, including the recent past presidency of the historic downtown BID. Why would CORE and CityView elect to tax themselves? Four reasons. One, cost. It spreads costs evenly over an entire district. Two, it's practical. It creates a more seamless integration of services. Security doesn't stop at a property's edge. Control. It's become a paradigm in self-governance. It's effective. CityView's quote, the BID does more than provide clean and safer streets.
Thank you very much.
It provides a voice of leadership for the community.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bartolo. Officer Jack Richter. And then John Walsh.
Good morning. I'm a Senior Lead Officer Jack Richter with the Los Angeles Police Department, and I'm currently assigned the Senior Lead Officer for the area of Little Tokyo, Skid Row, and the area known as the Arts District. I'm here to speak of my support for the renewal of the Arts District BID because I can base that on my experience in the central area. It's been over 10 years that I've worked downtown, and I've seen this transformation. From a gritty warehouse area, the city's allowed a lot of partnerships to work within the city, and we've really transformed the area into one of the lowest crime rates and a very high quality of life thanks to the city council, the mayor's office, and the other city entities. The BID Arts District has played no small part in that, and I can tell you that they're an excellent working partner, and I look forward to working with them again in the future. I've also provided, sir, a letter from my two commanding officers in support of the Arts District BID. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Officer Richter. And John Walsh.
Okay. I read this. I could turn it around.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I live in a BID, a business improvement district in Hollywood. My landlord pays into it. There's no improvement. This is the Honest Jan Perry for Mayor campaign, so she can collect money. That's all it is, folks. I hear some of, and I just like to say, I like to reiterate, for the good of the city, your scandals, FBI swirling around you, please resign, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. You still have 31 minutes. 30 seconds. I'll give you 31 minutes. Yeah, that was a Freudian slip. Bill McGregor. And then Jonathan Gerard. And if the folks who are, we call you if you can come on up. Thank you.
I'm Bill McGregor of the McGregor Company. We're the developer of One Santa Fe, and we strongly support the bid. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan Gerard, and then Dilip.
It's Jonathan Gerald. I'm a 17-year resident of the Arts District. I'm a secretary of the Los Angeles River Artists and Business Association and a secretary of the 501c3 arts nonprofit for the community. I'd just like to say that aside from the fact that the polls are closed, it seems to me this board's responsibility is for the Budget and Finance Committee to review the bid's performance as you have required, and to await the results of that body's evaluation before deciding on whether to support this bid, which has become a very divisive issue in the community. It is not universally supported. Nobody denies that the sanitation and security services have the community has benefited from those, but the bid's lobby on behalf of a minority, a very small minority of property owners, is disturbing to say the least, and we would hope that we could create a broader and more deeply rooted bid in the community. Thank you.
Dilip Bhavnani, and then Luciana Brang Barausini.
Good morning. I'm here representing Legendary Investment Group, and we have become a large property owner within the Arts Business Improvement District since February 2011. We've currently slotted over 470 new apartments to be constructed in the area, primarily because we have high aspirations for this district. What we've seen the Business Improvement District perform, cleaning up this area, getting rid of homeless people, removing the graffiti, the support that we've seen through the Officer Jack Richter's office. We are in strong support of the BID, and we ask that you also find in favor of the BID. Thank you.
Luciana Brannorsini, and then Frank Novak.
I'm here just as a simple taxpayer, nothing more than that. I feel like we are paying our taxes for these services to be provided by the government. And here we are with Metro and other services supporting an extra taxation or an extra support to do the same job that we already pay our taxes for. I think it should be really considered very, very, put a lot of consideration on this and see how much you want to squeeze from us and for what kind of service. Because so far I've been living in the art district for 7 years now. And the improvement is not that great. These guys are going around with the bikes, and all those services should come from the government agencies that we already pay for.
Thank you. Frank Novak, and then Yuval Bar-Zimmer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I own a business in downtown Los Angeles. We have 80 employees and 12 loft units. I pay $11,000 in taxes to get a garbage can and a patrol of like four people for $1.3 million. I'd just like to read a statement from the Finance and Budget Committee from the assessment in 2005. Metro will not receive any special benefits from the improvements and activities that proposed to improve the appearance of the bid and enhance its image, improve safety and cleanliness, and market the businesses and properties for the bid. And they also go on to mention that these are just rail yards. Metro properties are dedicated to rail operations under construction and do not generate any revenues, which would be influenced by the improvements and activities in the bid. And so for all this money, we get four or six kids on bikes, or adults, you know, on bikes, and so it's basically increased my taxes by 50%. Thank you.
Thank you, Von Zimmer.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move the item.
Item's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Wilson. Yuval.
Thank you very much for hearing us.
My name is Yuval Barzemer. I live in the Artist District for the past 8 years. I developed 250 loft units. I'm in the process of developing another 100 and probably over 100,000 square foot of commercial space. This bid is a waste of time and a waste of money. However, that's not what's in front of you. What's in front of you is a sleazy attempt to try and get something under the carpet. One of your employees signed a petition without an authority, without bringing it in front of the Budget and Finance Committee. That same employee happens to be a board member on the artist bid. It's illegal. Don't do something retroactive to try and make something kosher. You have the right to demand that this kind of proposal are properly vetted. There's a financial analysis. Her financial analysis shows that there's a limited benefit for the MTA. There's no reason why taxpayers' money would be wasted. This is $500,000 commitment on the MTA. It's not small change. Give us a bus instead of that. We'll be very happy.
Ms. Lopez.
Very good morning to the board. I am the executive director and very proud to be the executive director of the Arts District Business Improvement District. My words really here are to thank you, to thank Metro for being such a wonderful stakeholder in that district, to thank you for the improvements that you intend to continue to bring to that district. We, in partnership with you and your incredible staff, are seeing that that district is finally on its way to becoming part of the revitalization of the greater downtown area. Thank you. Thank you, Metro staff. We are proud to work in partnership with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The item has been moved and seconded. Mr. Fasana?
Yes, just a question. Within this district, are there any other governmental entities that are involved that are part of the district, or have they been exempted, or is there a rationale for why they would or would not be included? I just want to make sure we're not the only one.
Yeah, there are a number, Director, LAUSD, LADWP. There are some county and city offices as well, and some state offices.
So they are all part of the
district? They are all part. Also, I might mention that Mr. McGregor did speak, but he spoke very briefly. This is the site within this of our brand-new One Santa Fe development, which is over 438 apartments, 27% of which are affordable, as well as 77,000 square feet of retail and office space that's going in there that will benefit. The cost will largely be absorbed by that new development, so our costs will then be transferred by and large to that development as well. So it's an extraordinarily economical action, as well as one that's very helpful to this development and will benefit us economically as well.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Kanabi?
How much of an expansion is it? I know we're just continuing the existing, but is there an expansion?
The expansion only includes the east side of Mateo Street. It's adding the opposite side of the street that was already in the bid. So it was no significant increase.
Well, if you're adding it, it wasn't in the bid then, right?
Correct. They're adding one side and one additional side street of the street.
And the rationale for that is what?
I'd like to ask Ms. Lopez to come and address the expansion of the bid.
Okay. Reason being, I mean, where does it stop? It just keeps going street to street to street. So go ahead.
Sir, we are, as Ms. Marshall pointed out, we are already providing services to the east side of Mateo Street. We have moved the line across the street. It is a more comprehensive district if we do that. Some of the people
providing services now?
We are providing services to the east side. On the west side, we have had expressions of support for about 3.5 years from people on the west side of Mateo asking for both industrial properties as well as the new live-work lofts, asking for our services. This is the appropriate time at renewal when such adjustments to the boundaries can be made.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Any other comment? Item's been moved and seconded without objection. The ayes have it. Item number 62. I have a number of speakers on this issue, beginning with Kimberly Richards and then Arnold Sachs. I could have folks come on up so we could move this along.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Kimberly Richards speaking as chair of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council. I am prepared to support this motion, except that I have a sinking feeling that we're closing the barn door after the horse left. Maintaining service levels for Tier 1 is all well and good, except for the fact that at our most recent service change program in June, the midday service level on many Tier 1 lines expanded from a 20-minute service level to close to half an hour, including, I will be on the record to say, the Tier 1 line that runs closest to my own home, which is how I became aware of it. I don't believe, Mr. Chairman, that a 30-minute midday service level on Tier 1 is part of a world-class transit system. And therefore, I would request that the board, as part of this motion, mandate a minimum service level in middays of 20 minutes on Tier 1 service, effective as soon as it can be implemented by our service planning department. Thank you.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs, and then John Walsh. John Walsh.
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. There would be two items I would talk about on this. Item number six, you want to direct the CO to work with local jurisdictions regarding the bus rapid transit system. I believe a couple years ago you had identified bus rapid transit systems to be implemented as part of an overall transit strategy. I know Torrance was supposed to implement a bus rapid transit system. It hasn't come through. So you're looking at new ones to implement when you haven't done the old ones. And then again, the transit access pass for the universal fare system. Torrance has just bought new buses, not access to transit cards. $171 million going up to what? What is the ceiling? What is the budget for this transit access card, this fiasco, this monumental Tower of Babel? Do we have a budget on it?
John Walsh, and then Barbara
Lott Holland.
Yes, Lott Holland.
The reason that he has this motion is this story in the New York Times. Cuts will make long bus commutes long. The story begins. The women shuffle back and forth as they wait just after 7 a.m. for the orange bus crawling down the street. It will be more than an hour before they arrive at work. And guess what color these people are? And soon the same journey will stretch to nearly 2 hours because of the racism of you, the racism of the minorities on this board as much as the white people. $1 billion out of $4 billion in your budget today is that you passed is, what is it for? For planning. $1 billion. That's what he said, Mr. Leahy. $1 billion in deferred maintenance sitting there. We're talking about the worst bus system in America. Please resign after you vote in favor of your own amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Barbara Lott Holland, and then Crystal McMillan.
Good morning, Board and Chair. Barbara Lott Holland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union. We applaud the proposal to create an internal compliance manager to closely and regularly monitor the quality of bus service for your passengers. We hope that this will be a permanent but for a long-standing problem and not a short-term response to the scrutiny you are facing from the FDA's Office of Civil Rights. When we met with the FDA Compliance Review last month, we made it clear to them that we believe this agency has failed to really assess the civil rights impact of its policy. We mentioned that you have failed to look at the accumulative impact of cuts over time and the system-wide impact of a series of cuts imposed all at once. Your staff's approach to looking at each cut in an isolated incident does not cut it. We want to ensure that this compliance manager be real and effective in improving service. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Holland. Crystal McMillan and then Esperanza Martinez.
My name is Crystal McMillan, and the BRU applauds the motion's clear statement on the need to maintain and ultimately expand bus service over the long term, and the moratorium this motion would place on the reductions in Tier 1 bus service this year. We also hope that protecting Tier 1 bus service doesn't mean bleeding service from Tier 2 and 3 lines. For example, lines 611 and 612 are now on the chopping block, and these smaller lines are important lifelines for their neighborhoods. We're disturbed by the decision to cancel the public hearings for the changes proposed this fall and remove any opportunity for potentially impacted riders to weigh in. You collected public comment previously on the proposal that called for reducing service on the line 611 and 612, but I'm sure the riders on these lines will have something to say about the proposal to cancel them. This is an important first step, and we urge the board to take even more serious measures to halt the trend of slashing bus service and continue to protect what the mayor himself has called the backbone of the county's transportation system.
Thank you.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Esperanza Martinez, and I'm one of the lead organizers of the Bus Riders Union. Mayor Villaraigosa, welcome back as chair of the board.
And congratulations to you.
Thank you so much. And the Bus Riders Union is looking forward to working with you in moving towards creating free public transit, because everybody would benefit from that. We support your motion. We want to commend you and your staff for putting forth such a strong proposal to protect bus service. We would actually ask that you amend the motion and move towards reinstating some of the previous cuts. As you all know, the basis of the administrative complaint of the FTA is the cuts that were made in the last 3 to 5 years. The Bus Riders Union is working to raise this as a citywide debate. We're going to be holding a community forum on civil rights and transit. We invite the board to attend and ask you to make a good faith effort to be there and get a stronger sense of the real texture that these cuts have had on the people of the city and county.
Thank you very much. Sun Young Yang and then Barbara Lee. No, Barbara already spoke.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Oh,
good.
Good morning, board. Like I said, Sun Young Yang from the Bus Riders Union, and I just wanted to also echo what Esperanza said around thanking the mayor for this motion and the leadership, at least the good faith leadership that you're showing to ensure that bus service is protected. I want to specifically talk about the proposal for expanding bus rapid transit. First of all, I think this is great. It will continue building on the victories and the massive breakthrough that we had on the Wilshire Bus Only Lane project. I just wanted to add, in the line of the spirit of the overall motion, I think it's really also important within this piece to protect and expand bus service, and that includes restoring certain rapid bus lines that have been eliminated in South Los Angeles, and really see it as an opportunity with this motion to implement a full bus rapid transit in those corridors. I just want to also mention one last thing. There has been the last year and a half process of a countywide bus speed improvement project, and that many of the things outlined here could be
thank you.
From that process could help out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gerard Wright. And then Jose Rodriguez. Gerard Wright. Jose Rodriguez.
Summertime now. Mr. Wright. All right.
Good morning, directors. Gerard Wright, Sierra Club, Angeles Chapter Transportation Committee. I approve this motion. We approve this motion. There's one little addition or amendment that should be included in item 6 on directing CEO to work with local jurisdictions on the peak about the bus peak hour bus lanes to include signal preemption and signal priority for those corridors, because some corridors do not have that, and that would improve the speed of the buses significantly. So just to include a letter I, amending on number 6 to include signal preemption on those corridors. Thank you very much.
Yes. Mr. Najarian?
Mr. Mayor, I support this motion.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Mr. Rodriguez. No, you're next. I apologize.
No, not a problem. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jose Rodriguez. I'm in favor of this motion. I just want to remind you that about the rapid service. Sometimes I don't understand the MTA. It seems like sometimes they spoke about adding rapid service and then a year later about cutting the rapid service. So that doesn't make no sense. So focus on adding rapid service on the big boulevards that we needed, like Hoover doesn't have a rapid service and Washington Boulevard doesn't have a rapid service. But thank you very much and try to improve the rapid service. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Najarian?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wholeheartedly support this motion. I would like to encourage the board and staff, however, on item 6, where the direction is to work with local jurisdictions to identify 5 corridors, I'd like to suggest a corridor that I think is exceptionally worthy, and that is the corridor that would connect the Orange Line, the fantastic Orange Line. I see Director Yevzovsky agreeing with me on that, to the Gold Line, which would essentially take it from the extreme west San Fernando Valley to the ultimate extension of the Gold Line to the eastern San Gabriel Valley. That's what I see as a missing link. There have been some studies looking at those routes and ridership, so if we could just include that in the mix and the analysis, I think it would serve the public very well. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
A reading of this motion would indicate that that line could be and will be included in making those assessments. Mr. Director Katz?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that one of the parts behind the motion, which I think makes sense, this motion does not undo anything this board has done, but rather tries to assess sort of the cumulative impact both on the agency and on our customers, our riders. And I think that whenever you go through change, and this agency has gone through a lot, it's worth stopping and taking a look and making sure that we're meeting, the goals that we said we would meet are being met. And also things like, one of the rationales on some areas is with dealing with bus lines is that the integration with light rail lines, et cetera, we need to make sure that's actually happening, that the schedules have been adjusted and that things are working the way they were presented. And without undoing anything that's been done, before we go ahead and do anything in the future, seems like a really smart time to do it, and we're at that point. So I support the motion, the idea being, again, let's make sure, that we're still providing service where we need to and as much service as we possibly can, because all of us, I think, believe that without the bus system, we don't have a transportation system in L.A. So L.A. County, thank you.
Director Ridley Thomas? Director Kanabi?
Yeah, I would like to ask the CEO, and that we're all on the same page here on item 1 of the motion. We are not undoing anything that this board has taken a previous action on, correct?
No, sir, absolutely not.
Okay. I just said that. Well, you said it. I want to make sure the CEO interpreted it the same way, because you're in cahoots with somebody. Anyway.
So are you.
But, the one thing, and Director Katz mentioned as well, too, and one of my concerns is how we hook up these BRTs. We've got, Mark and I continually talk about line 442, and it might be a good test case.
Yeah.
That we need to promote good baseline bus service to access these, particularly the BRTs, and not to lose that tool and not to promote inferior bus service, but good baseline bus service with the proper connections. And 442 might be a great example or a test case to work at it. So I follow on the heels of Director Katz's comments while supporting the motion. I just want to make sure that the connection piece, if we're really looking at this, really looking at, because that's the key. I mean, and not just slice and burn, but to do it in a way that promotes good bus ridership.
Director Du Bois, and then Director Ely Thomas.
I also support the motion. I have one question.
Yes.
And that I want to clarify is
microphone.
I also support the motion. I have one question. I want to clarify that this does not necessarily mean hiring a new person, that this could be a team effort with your compliance manager.
Mr. Chair, if the board passes this, we would propose to assign the responsibility to John Hilmer. He has experience in this area of endeavor. He works with the service councils, and so that would make the assignment. We would not hire a new individual to do this work.
Thank you. Then I have no other questions.
Director Ely Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish to reinforce the overall set of remarks that speak to the issue of the motion and its merits, and acknowledge the author of the motion for bringing it forward. It seems to me, as we deliberate on the issues of overall balance throughout the region, the extent to which bus services have to factor in more prominently is very, very basic. The enhancements, the innovations that can be brought to bear for those who would be traditionally considered the most transit-dependent seem to me to be the basis and the spirit that motivates the motion. Supervisor Kanavi makes the point about 442. It might be useful to test the merits and the applicability of the motion, that is, the efficacy of the motion, by looking at lines to see if, in fact, the notion of innovation and enhancement really do take root. And if deemed appropriate, I would ask that the staff think accordingly and help make the motion all that it can be. I'm pleased to be able to support it.
Thank you, Director Wilson, and then Director Molina.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I support this motion. I have the opportunity to ride our system, our bus system and our rail systems. And although we have made a lot of changes and improvements in the systems over the last number of months, I still believe that there is a room for improvement on a number of our lines. And I think that this will help us take our job seriously and take our staff to another level so that they can make sure that they monitor how these changes that we've made over the last number of months actually impacting the customers. And I look forward to working with the operations department and the compliance manager to see how we can improve the standing room only conditions on some of the lines, the reliability on some of the lines. And I think that we are moving in the direction of becoming a world-class operations center here in the County of Los Angeles with this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Molina? I think your mic is not on, Ms. Molina. There it is. No, there it is. It's on.
Red means on.
Red on.
Okay. All right. On the item with regard to the five corridors, I'm only asking that when they look at these various five, they take into consideration the pedestrian aspects of it as well as the bike path aspects of it. Because in the past, they haven't really incorporated those issues.
I would consider that a friendly amendment. And so we should include that. Any other comment? So, motion by Director Katz, seconded by Director Boyce. Without objection, such will be the order. We have a consent calendar to approve.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Fasano. Item 2A has been pulled. Moved by Director Fasana, seconded by Director Huizar. Without objection, such will be the order. Item 2A.
Second.
No, it's just the item on the
bond selection.
Minutes.
Oh, minutes. I didn't pull the minutes.
Minutes from June 23rd.
The bond minute.
No, I.
The item has been moved by Director Kanabe, seconded by Director Du Bois. Without objection, such will be the order. Item number six, 43. We have public comment. Arnold Sachs, Martin Schlageter. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yes, the federal government has changed the color of money. I don't know why you would want to change your green construction policy. You're stealing so much money right now. That is the policy. I mean, every system that you build has got unfunded, unbudgeted studies to go along with it. That's a green policy that... Every economic strata. It's not just from the poor, and it's not just from the middle class, and it's not just from the rich. So maintain your economic green construction policy. You're on your way to a completing this fiasco.
Thank you, Ms. Sachs. Martin Schlageter, and then Derek Turbide.
Hello, board members. Mr. Chair, Martin Schlageter with the Coalition for Clean Air. I'm happy to be here in support of this motion in front of you and to let you know that your staff has held extensive stakeholder outreach on this, through which the Coalition for Clean Air and our other colleagues here have participated. This is a meaningful and important step that continues the leadership on sustainability issues here at Metro. A meaningful step towards protecting public health from diesel emissions from construction equipment. It is in the tradition, the recent tradition in particular, of leadership on sustainability issues, and a logical next step in that. And I want to just call out not only your staff, but the board members of the Sustainability Committee here for helping shape that direction and that leadership. And I appreciate your support for this motion. Thank you.
Derek Turbide and then Drew Wood. Derek Turbide, Drew Wood.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the board, staff, and general public. My name is Derek Turbide. I'm a business development manager for Clean Energy, North America's largest natural gas fuel provider. Clean Energy is in strong support of the proposed green construction policy. The policy would help to reduce harmful particulate matter, nitrogen oxide, and greenhouse gas emissions from diesel engines used in construction projects for Metro. Diesel exhaust has been identified as a toxic air contaminant with over 40 chemicals known by the state of California to cause cancer. Further, according to the California Air Resources Board, approximately 70% of the cancer risk from air pollution in the state comes from diesel particulate pollution. The South Coast Air Quality Management District has also recently identified diesel off-road equipment as second only to ocean-going vessels when it comes to NOx emissions, emitting about 50 tons per day. At this time, Metro appears to be the only transit agency considering a green construction policy, but no doubt the agency's leadership in passing a green construction policy will encourage other agencies to do the same.
Thank you, Mr. Turbide. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Drew Wood? And then Neil Richman.
Good morning, board members and staff. Drew Wood, the California Kids IAQ. IAQ is indoor air quality, and we focus on what they breathe inside their daycare, schools, and homes. And as the previous speaker mentioned about diesel, in here you're breathing at the moment about 70 million particles per cubic foot. In the parking garage when I came in, there's about 600 million. And at the Soto School in Boyle Heights, that I'm going to get you a picture of so you can see where it's situated, freeways and everything else, it's in the billions per cubic foot. And this policy is really going to be a big step forward, but it has got to be expanded to include Caltrans and all the other cities. And you really need to get updated on the information. I'd be glad to help you do that. Thank you.
Neil Richman and Morgan Wyand.
Mayor Villaraigosa, members of the board, on behalf of Pre-California of Los Angeles County, we want to commend you for this visionary policy and the leadership that you've been taking on it. You've heard already about the importance of mitigating diesel pollution. Staff has done a remarkable job in addressing this. We believe that with adoption of the proposed policy, you'll really be setting an exemplar for other cities and localities. I do want to make one very important point, is that it must have inclusion of Caltrans and the local cities as part of the ultimate rollout of the project. Otherwise, the real guts of it won't really come to fruition. We think it's important, the first step that Metro is taking in implementing this action. But again, let's bring on the cities and Caltrans. Thanks very much.
Morgan Wyand, Soon-Yang Yang.
Good morning. My name is Morgan Wyand. I'm an attorney with the NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and I was a part of the stakeholder group that some of our allies worked with MTA. And I'm here, first of all, to thank you to the mayor and Director Katz and the mayor's staff and MTA staff. Everyone's done an excellent job, and your leadership and commitment on this issue has been fantastic. We, as NRDC, enthusiastically support this policy. We submitted a letter of support earlier this week. This policy will significantly reduce toxic diesel pollution throughout LA and make sure that the construction of our transportation system does not bring needless pollution into our neighborhoods. But I must note that the work is not done. The policy before you today does not include projects administered by Caltrans and the cities. These jurisdictions make up a large chunk of MTA's construction money and cannot be given a free pass to pollute. We look forward to working with you to make sure this policy keeps moving forward. Thank you and congratulations on this exciting policy.
Ms. Yang and then Gerard Wright.
Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union. On behalf of the Bus Riders Union, we also would like to support this motion, that it's a huge step forward, especially as communities of color living inside Los Angeles. We are breathing the worst toxic air, and one less diesel polluting equipment would definitely help many of our communities struggling from asthma and other respiratory diseases. I would just like to echo that MTA, as the largest as the regional agency that's giving out tons of resources and funding around construction, we hope that other municipalities and Caltrans and other agencies, any other agencies that MTA works with and gives money to, will also adopt this policy. So we look forward to the MTA board pushing for that collaboration. Thank you.
Gerard Wright and Jocelyn Vivar.
Good
Good morning, directors. In the interest of time, Sierra Club supports this item. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much in the interest of time. I'm sorry, Jocelyn Vivar or Vivar.
Hi, good morning, Chairman and members of the board. My name is Jocelyn Vivar, and I am representing East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice. We're a community-based organization that works in communities that are already overburdened by industrial pollution. And so we're here to applaud this effort by MTA to adopt a comprehensive policy to address regional air pollution contributed by construction equipment. These various construction projects planned in and around our communities are already overburdening our communities with pollution by various nearby sources, and construction projects add to the burden due to the chronic exposure. We recommend that the board approve this recommendation by the board for a sustainable green construction policy, but also ask that a timeline be developed for a quick implementation of the phase-in of projects that are funded by MTA that include Caltrans and local cities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Director Katz.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The thought behind this policy grew out of all of the efforts around Measure R and all of the transit projects in Measure R, and a discussion that basically said, if we're going to put in clean technology so that the air improvements in this basin are significant throughout the county, does it really make sense to build all that green transportation infrastructure with old polluting diesel equipment, and is that not a wash at some point and you don't come out any better at the end of the day? And it seemed to make a lot of sense. And I know that both the Port of LA and at LAX there are similar policies, I don't think as far reaching as this, that have gone into effect. And so it's made it seem logical to bring it here. This applies to MTA projects right now. There's really three parts to it. There's MTA projects, there are local cities projects, and there are Caltrans projects. Caltrans, obviously, state agency and state issues, and we are talking to them and the legislature about Caltrans, which has already been doing a lot of this on their own in terms of the kind of equipment. I remember Mike saying that they're purchasing now. And we agreed with the concerns raised by Supervisor Kanabi and Director Du Bois and others about small cities needing more time. So we put a date in here of 2 months to come back here with a timeline, a plan, and a way that small cities could take advantage of this and we could work with them. That would require another vote and another policy by the board. This does not do that. This does nothing from the small city standpoint other than set up the mechanism for the discussion and the stakeholders. But what we're doing today on MTA equipment and MTA projects, and you have a list of actually a series of letters from private sector companies that are excited about doing this, we think will set a trend that other transit agencies will follow in the future, and ask for an aye vote on it.
Director Kanabi.
Okay. I got my question answered.
Director Fasana?
Yes. I just want to point out I have an electric vehicle. They are more costly up front. They do have environmental benefits long term, and they're certainly beneficial. They are also in scarce supply. So I guess the question that I have going forward is it also is important that as we implement this policy that we're able to get competitive bids and that we have people in the marketplace that can help us to get the pricing that we need. So I totally support the long-term objectives of this plan, and if we can accelerate, I think that's great. But we need to be in a position to where we actually can get competitive bids as well. The scarcity of equipment doesn't leave us in a position of having only one bidder on jobs. So I'm wondering, as we frame this policy so we don't have the appearance of lurching out but then having to retrench, has there been some thought in terms of making sure that the marketplace is developed sufficiently to where we end up with a competitive marketplace?
Yeah, and I can add another thing. There are, as you see in the packet of private sector companies, construction companies that say they're doing this on their own or they can comply with this policy, there's a packet of a bunch of, Skanska, URS, East Yard Communities, others that are on this list, in addition to environmental groups, Lung Association, that are supporting. There are also people in the business of converting that are out there, but I think none of us would want this without competitive bids. The fact that it's also being done at LAX and the port means that there are a lot of opportunities now, and if the right synergy has been created, and frankly,
if somebody's listening to this, might be a good time to go in this business as well, because this is where the industry is going.
So. Director O'Connor?
And just to adding on to that, which is all great and good, and I'm hoping to see that happen, but still there's going to be, what is the capacity? And as you get down the food chain and you're a smaller city, you know, if the all these folks who are willing to do it are working on the big Measure R projects and you are one of the smaller cities, you might not have the same universe to draw from. I mean, what we want to is to stimulate that and create that market, but we need to be cognizant that there's a range of projects and a range of capacity in the 88 cities in LA County. The cities I represent, the West Side cities and the South Bay cities, are clearly, even though they're my cities, but I still could come up with facts to prove that they're clearly leaders on sustainability. West Side cities have been recognized nationally, and the South Bay cities are just doing a great job of working collaboratively to put together their sustainable community strategies, to look to new technologies, such as their electric vehicle pilot program down there. So those cities are working hard, and they want to do this and want to do the right thing, but yet again, they need to be part of the process and part of the collaboration, because we need them as partners, and we don't want to become regulators. This is not to become a regulator, but this is to get everyone there. So, well, I definitely concur with the amendment's intent. I just really want to reiterate, this needs to be a technical assistance program, and it has to emphasize that collaborative nature of Metro working with the cities to adopt the policy and recognizing that one size does not fit all. So as we move forward in figuring out how to make this happen, we do need to catalog the array of funding that flows from Metro and bring back recommendations on what kinds of funding should apply and those that don't. For example, local return funding might not be included. You know, so cities need some clarity and understanding and how this might be phased also. And Metro really needs to work with the cities, again, that concept of determining the thresholds of the site and magnitude of the projects. I believe all the cities I represent definitely want to get there, but they also don't want to have a project sitting that's a small project where they're held captive.
Director Du Bois?
Yes. Thank you. I concur with what... means it's on. Okay. I concur with my colleague, and because of that, I want to thank the members of the EMC committee who... developed an amendment that would give us an opportunity for the cities to work out the system so that they can also be a part of making sure that we are sustainable and that we are fighting to clean our air and do all the things attendant to that. In my region, we did our own SCS study and came out glowing. So, and that was not from radiation. We came up with a wonderful report, so it's possible to do that individually. We want to work toward that. I do have some concerns. We talked about and asked about quantification of the resulting PM and NOx emission reductions, list and description of monitoring and enforcement actions, and a description of other appropriate measures in progress, which are in the motion. And I have some questions, and I'm sure that staff will take note of that and get back with answers. Number one, how do you identify reductions without knowing the current levels? We don't seem to have the current levels, so, you know, is going down to 5 good or are we starting at 4? What's the metric? Is there a quantified current level? How will this be done? Will the definition of construction emissions be a modeling exercise? We're doing those kinds of exercises on the 710, I believe. And how will measurements be taken, and who will develop those metrics? So if you could kind of take those things and put them together and come back with an answer, that would make me very happy.
We'll do that.
That's great. And finally, Dr. Riley Thomas and Director Riley Thomas. I haven't called you doctor in a long time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's good about the motion in my mind is the following. It speaks to pinning down the policy. It articulates a need for timelines and clearer guidelines. Policy is one thing, to promulgate, but absent the capacity to track, implement, measure, it is not to be considered good policy. This is an effort to make the green construction equipment policy better and the overall policy involving sustainability. I think it's really important to appreciate that MTA seeks to advance an agenda that sets an example for other parts of the nation. And it's also good to embrace green policy, sustainability practices that are no longer considered fringe, esoteric, unreasonably costly. This is the essence, in my mind, of what makes for a healthier future that has far-reaching entrepreneurial implications in terms of what the green economy looks like. And so I think this is really important to be able to speak with more definition about the policy as we move toward implementation. After all, there is no public works effort that will be more substantial over the next decade and beyond than in the area of transportation. And so to the extent that we get this right, it will set an example for other industry sectors, and our region will be better for it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director Ridley Thomas. And let me just say that and acknowledge both, particularly Directors Kanabe and Antonovich, because we were a part of something novel back in the early 90s when we moved to alternative fuel buses. There was a great deal of criticism. Director Yaroslavsky was a part of that effort as well. Great deal of criticism about that move because of cost and other matters. Now we're the world's leader, and every single bus is an alternative fuel bus. We're moving into the next generation with zero emissions. And thank you all for the comments and improvements you've made. This is going to be another effort on our part, I think, as Director Ridley Thomas said very well, that will lead the way, not just for this agency, but the other related agencies. I heard you loud and clear, and you're right about Caltrans and the city at the airport and Porter already doing this. And, of course, now that this proposal may be even stronger, they'll move to at least meet these standards, if not beat them, and addressing all of the concerns that have been mentioned, because they're certainly legitimate, quantifying just where we are now so that we can measure it is something that we have to do and address. It's just another example of this agency leading the way and creating, ultimately, as Director Ridley Thomas said, the jobs and the technology that will move us forward. And so with that, do I hear a motion? Moved by Director Katz.
Second.
Seconded by Director Fasana. Without objection, such will be the order. Item number 22, Yaroslavsky O'Connor, Villaraigosa. Did I do that right? Villaraigosa. If I don't get it right, who will, right? And there's public comment on this, so beginning with Malcolm Klugman. Or at least I didn't say Villa Garosa, right?
All right, we've now fallen in love with all these wonderful bicycle riders. So let's get part of this straight. We've got to have a code and some fines for bike riders who screw up and don't do what they should be doing. One thing is, don't let them ride side by side, have a conversation going at 5 miles an hour while they're holding up traffic behind them. Second, don't let them ride on the sidewalks at 30 miles an hour and terrify pedestrians walking down the street. And third, consider maybe we need to have helmets for these people, because they're in danger as much as a motorcycle rider if there's an accident. And the other thing is, let people yell at these bike riders and don't make it a free speech issue and tell them they're terrible people.
Thank you very much. Arnold Sachs. And then John Walsh. And then David Campbell. Sachs?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. In addition to the helmets, bikes should also be required to have lights. If they want to share the streets, and a vehicle in California needs to have safety devices, needs to have lights, and needs to have an audio system that can be heard with other cars, should be required for bikes. The bus operators in the South Bay, one of them, Beach City Transit, operates the paralegal buses in lieu of transit buses for the routes. They don't allow bikes. They don't have bike racks. It's unconscionable that that should be part of the bus system in this county, and buses that don't carry bikes, while you propose to add these bike lanes and do all this bike stuff, and yet you have buses that don't allow bikes to be put on the front of the bus. It needs to be checked into, and they should be able, if the people have to be in compliance, the
Thank
companies that operate in the should also be in
Mr.
compliance.
Mr. Walsh? And then Mr. Campbell.
That camera's still there. Once it leaves, they're going to have me arrested. You know, bikes are now, it's mother apple pie and bicycles. So you can't put down bikes. But why not just bus rapid transit stations? How about bus stops at Hollywood and Vine? All the major stops. Let's go out and buy thousands and thousands of bikes. This is, how much money is this going to cost? $1 billion in planning out of $4 billion in their budget. This year, $1 billion last year, and $1 billion the next year. That's what's happening. And in case you you resign before the next meeting in September, Mr. Mayor, goodbye.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walsh. David Campbell.
Hello, Board. I'm Dave Campbell with Bike Nation, the bike share provider within the LA Mobility Hub program for LA, which also includes car share and secure bike parking. I wanted to thank the Supervisor Yaroslavsky for proposing this public-private bike share motion, but I wanted to take a minute to remind everyone that there is already precedent for a bike share public-private partnership that Metro has funded via the JARC Mobility Hub project. This same program has already been supported by the mayor, Mr. Canavi, and have already supported that program. Bike Nation is committing $1.5 million in private funds, and the overall set of service providers are providing $5.5 million in private funds to help launch the Mobility Hub program. Thank you.
Thank you. Any speakers on this motion?
Briefly say a word on
Director Yaroslavsky.
On the motion, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the motion speaks for itself, and we're talking about a pilot program to launch bike share opportunities at key strategic rail and BRT locations. Rail and BRT locations. And we asked the staff to come back in 120 days with a report on how we could implement something like this on a private-public partnership basis so that it doesn't require depleting any or very much of our own scarce revenues. And I think this is something that we should do. It's being done all over the world on a private-public basis. And I think we need to recognize that this is a growing movement, and it offers another tool in our toolkit as far as transportation to and from our key strategic rail and BRT stations. So I appreciate the support.
Thank you very much. And you know, I think this is another area. Well, actually, this is an area. I spoke about the green construction program, world's leader in alternative fuels, the work that we're doing around green. This is an area where, frankly, we still have a long way to go. I think that Director Yaroslavsky said it very well. You go around the world and you see cities that have a bike option, much more robust, much more extensive and expansive. And this effort, and coupled with our doubling the amount of money in the 2011 call for projects dedicated to bicycle infrastructure, removing peak hour restrictions for bicycles on our rail system, looking at expanding the bike racks like many other agencies have from 2 to 3, allowing these small bicycles that my son uses, I don't know what they called, the fold-up bicycles to go on buses. These are all things that are giving people other options and I think the way of the future, particularly in the city addicted to the single-passenger automobile. And with that, Mr. Najarian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a great motion, and I understand that they call it the last mile, which is often the most difficult part to get from the transit terminus to your job. I'm hoping that we can develop a robust plan that municipalities, the individual cities, and other agencies, such as Metrolink, perhaps, or others, could follow the example and make it truly a countywide system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The motion has been moved by Director Yaroslavsky, seconded by Director O'Connor. Without objection, such will be the order. Item number 56. Item 56. Arnold Sachs. Mr. Sachs.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. Will this funding for the citation process service include citations issued by red light cameras that are on Metro property? Maybe you hadn't heard, but the city of LA, in their wisdom, decided to eliminate the red light program because the county courts refused to communicate with the DMV. Now, it's not all county courts in the state. Turns out San Diego and Ventura are able to communicate their desires to the DMV, and the DMV acts on it. So why is the MTA or the city proceeding with this futile program when there's no communication or no opportunity to discuss it or appeal this court's ruling or decision with the state courts? This is throwing money. I'm not against cameras, but I'm against stupidity, which this MTA board seems to have a plethora of.
Mr. Chair, I move the item.
Second.
The item's been moved and seconded, and I'm just going to ask you, it wasn't necessary, the stupidity comment, and I'm asking you to please refrain from those kinds of comments. The item's been moved by Mr. Fasana, Director Fasana, and seconded by Director Najarian. Without objection, such will be the order. Item number 18, Renshaw Corridor Oral Report.
Good morning, board members. At the June 23rd board meeting, we were requested to return back to the July Planning and Program Committee and this meeting to present the Crenshaw Transit Corridor Community Benefits Program. Specifically, we were requested to report back with a plan for addressing safety at the grade level segments through Park Mesa Heights, a traffic mitigation plan, a local worker hiring plan, and small business enterprise participation plan, a business loss mitigation fund to assist businesses during construction, and the Crenshaw Curve to connect Lamar Park with the Martin Luther King Station, addressing the corridor on Crenshaw Boulevard between Vernon and Stocker. I have with me here today Robert Ball with our construction division, Linda Bybee with our regional communications, Linda Wright with our DEOD department, and Roderick Diaz, the project manager for the Crenshaw LAX corridor, who will briefly provide you with the report.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs. We're going to take
questions first. Well, it seems to me, Arnold Sachs, it seems to me the most comprehensive safety plan would to be either have an above grade or below grade line. That's in a nutshell. And in addition, because you have amazingly decided to form a nonprofit to oversee the construction or to get the funding for this program, shouldn't you wait to implement the nonprofit? I cannot believe it's to have the nonprofit on board so you can get the input from the nonprofit as far as what the plan is for this line. And your other part of your agenda was to have a program where you're keeping up with the construction authority bylaws issued by the state. What a joke.
John Walsh and then Damian Goodman.
John Walsh at HollywoodHighlands.org, 100,000 successful server requests per month. This microphone keeps cutting in and out. I would like to thank the contractor, the Tinker Toy Corporation, for the microphone. Mayor of the USA, you've been named that by the LA Times. Mr. Mayor of the USA, you don't have money to build the Crenshaw line. It's not going to happen. You're fighting over, like the treasure of Sierra Madre, where they fought the banditos and the corrupt white guys, and then the treasure box opened and all the gold spilled into the winds as you fight over this. And I still want to thank John North, because when he leaves the meeting, they're going to arrest me.
You have 10 seconds. Well, thank you very much. Damian Goodman.
Damian Goodman, the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. We support the concept of business loss mitigation measure fund and believe such will be necessary regardless of whether you proceed with a reckless street-level design or underground, although it's clear that the disruption of underground is significantly less. I must state, though, that staff report has no commitments, only concepts. I want to spend the rest of my time talking about the low expectations that exist on this board for the Crenshaw LAX line. It's historic, the belief that infrastructure investment, jobs, and focus is supposed to go to the west side and downtown LA, the valley, not South LA. Despite the fact that the region's growth should be focused in South LA on our corridors, which are strategically located between LAX, downtown, and Hollywood, despite the fact that we stakeholders in the Crenshaw community are pushing new urbanism principles, increases in height and density, despite these things, the view of some of the board members of Crenshaw is a ghetto and always remain that way. You see downtown Eaglewood and don't see the ability to create a stronger regional center like downtown Glendale. You scoff at our vision for Marlton Square in the Crenshaw Mall for something that competes for jobs regionally as Fox Hills. Crenshaw Boulevard is the future, and we will protect and defend
Clint
that.
Clint Simmons.
Thank you.
Clint Simmons, and then Linda Ricks. Mr. Simmons?
Yes, my name is Clint Simmons. I'm with the Crenshaw Coalition. And if there was a subway, we have no need to be discussing a street crossing as we're speaking of today. You can pull this okey-doke on other communities, but you know our group has been fighting you on the expo line, and we know how you operate. What the operation really go through, what your safety management really think, the recklessness of your entire operation. So nowhere are we going to accept street level measures which have proven to fail. Mr. Mayor, you are going to even talk about street level parking, about street level in Mesa Heights, when you really talk about subway on the park mile. And that's exactly what we're telling the FTA. So good luck trying your federal dollars while you continue your racist policies. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Linda Ricks, and then Gerard Wright.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I'm Linda Ricks, Chair of the Crenshaw Slauson CAC, Vice President of HOPE and Secretary of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. I want to say that HOPE and the Crenshaw Subway Coalition support the sidewalk, streetscape, and business improvement concept. We just want to continue the entire length of the project on Crenshaw. Crenshaw Boulevard is a diamond in the rough, and many pedestrian-oriented elements and property lots that could make this Los Angeles version of the Rosalind Boston and corridor served by the D.C. Metro. We just need a shot in the arm with a subway, not street level, and new streetscape and business improvement investments like those suggested in the motion. While other communities have fought mixed use or best highest use, we have actively sought it. We want a vibrant business community, not the destruction of the last African-American corridor in the Southland, Mayor. Mr. Mayor, if you seek a vibrant tax revenue creating Crenshaw Boulevard, you will support a Park Mesa Heights tunnel.
Mr. Wright.
Good morning, directors. This particular item, with representing Sierra Club Transportation Committee, we see this as a wonderful first step as to understanding the benefits of that gray light rail, especially on his historic portion of Crenshaw Boulevard. It used to have the yellow cars run along that corridor. That used to be very vibrant. It used to be very, very rich, have rich urban fabric. That's what's going on right now. That's what's continuing to go on along Crenshaw Corridor. This is a wonderful first step as to bring resolution for this community, as well as to get this project moving to the forefront, rather than get stalled and delayed, and which, by the way, if you have a subway underneath this, you will still need to go through these particular mitigation plans. So this is going to happen wherever you have an at-grade line, an elevate line, or a subway. That has to be very clear. Sierra Club supports it, and we support this project as it moves forward. Thank you very much.
Okay, this is a receive and file item. I believe it's necessary to have a... I'm sorry, Mr. Ridley Thomas is first. And then if you could press your button, Ms. Du Bois, Director Du Bois. Director Ridley Thomas.
Mr. Chairman, let me just simply indicate that the staff has set forth a path that addresses community benefits, and reference is appropriately made in the report to these concepts. I direct the board's attention to next steps because it essentially demonstrates the level of care and due diligence that is being taken by the staff as we continue to think through Crenshaw to LAX. One of the lines that has begun to distinguish itself as it moves closer to fruition. There are several important elements called forth from the safety plan to the traffic mitigation plan, the overall policy of job creation and career paths, the business loss mitigation fund. These are critically important to the quality of life of the project itself and those who have to live with the project, some would argue endure the project through its construction. So I simply want to punctuate the point that this is critically important work. The advisory council of the Crenshaw to LAX line is keyed into this, as has been called to my attention by the staff, so that there will be substantial community input throughout the process. Some may raise the questions about its fiscal implications and the like. No such commitments have been made, nor have they been articulated at this point. All of that is ensconced in what we look forward to in terms of next steps. And so I would move that we receive and file the report and encourage the staff to do their best work.
Well, I'm not sure if there's a need for a second, because this is a receive and file item, but the sentiment of the second, yes. Director Du Bois?
Yes, I have a couple questions. When we're talking about the local worker hiring plan and small business enterprise, we're looking at a minimum 30% local and 10% disadvantaged hiring participation, and I understand that, and I think that's great. However, I don't know what local means. These are projects that are funded by county taxes, and I would hate to think that local is just within the immediate area when we have folks in City of Commerce where there's 23% unemployment. So, excuse me? I'm sorry. So my question is the outreach going to be more than just the immediate area? It should be the whole county, I would think.
There, I think a good example, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Chairman, if I
yes,
may.
You may. Mr. Dr. Ridley Thomas.
The example that's provided through the Expo Authority, where this issue was very carefully vetted, the radius ends up being, in some instances, as far as 5 miles. One other characteristic of the local hire element is dislocated or disadvantaged workers. Another dimension of it is to index the level of unemployment in communities throughout the region. And so, Director Du Bois, your concerns are well taken, and the policy anticipates these projects being as much as they can intervening opportunities to lower unemployment throughout the appropriately defined areas, which in some instances will mean beyond the immediacy of the geographic boundaries. And so I would be glad to have the opportunity to share with you what happened in terms of the Expo Authority, as well as what we just completed with the MLK project. We want to take unemployment very, very seriously. It is the case that unemployment happens to be most acute and in many instances chronic along the lines where these new projects are being built. And so to the extent that that is the case, I think you'll find in the further vetting of the careers construction policy that your concerns are anticipated and will be satisfactorily answered. And I would certainly want to invite you to continue to raise them with my staff, as we will be able to respond to them as effectively as possible.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think it's important to recognize that these are county dollars, and we should include the county when we look at the unemployment records. Secondly, the Business Loss Mitigation Fund. I think on the east side, we assisted businesses with advertising and signage and other such things. Is that what we're looking for on this?
I think we have best practices, promising practices, and we're just beginning to get into the dimensions of the business loss mitigation. There were things learned in the east side effort that I think can be improved upon, and that's essentially what we're looking at. No conclusions have been drawn yet, but adverse impacts are very, very real. You make the point in terms of small business enterprise. Well, there is no question in my mind that we have to be much more attentive to small businesses in the effort to participate on projects of this sort, and we need to at the same time be attentive to harming, hurting, and in some instances destroying those businesses that are on the rail lines under consideration. And so what's happening with this concept of the business loss mitigation is for us to begin to look anew based on some of the experiences that we've had with other lines, Gold Line East Side being one example, but also other parts of the nation where they have done well, Seattle being one concrete example. Conclusions haven't been drawn yet. We welcome your input.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is a receive and file item, so it's not necessary to vote on it. Item number 63. There's public comment on this item. Arnold Sachs, and then John Walsh.
Okay. Yes, thank you again. It's interesting on this item. I'm going to point out that an estimated program budget and funding source for this project. Why, when you mention studies on different projects to be that might be committed, there is no source of program budget for studies. There is no idea of funding sources and how long, take for example the Wilshire only bus lanes, how much money is allocated for these studies. This Tower of Babel that we're sitting in right now has been built on excess funding that has become unfathomable because there's no end in sight to it.
John Walsh, and then Fabrio Segovia. Fabrio Segovia.
I didn't sign up for any more. This is the last shot, metaphorically speaking.
Speak as much.
I had enough. But I'm telling you right now, I have to say something positive about the mayor. And okay, you're smeared with the kiddie porn scandal of one of your best friends and political appointee. But I'm telling you, there are no dead children. This is foster youth, county foster youth. The five supervisors have 70 dead children, every single one a minority, on their bloody hands. You have none, Mr. Mayor. No children have died. And now you want to give them an easy pass?
What does this have to do with the
matter? This is foster youth.
Okay,
this is a foster youth
motion.
Program, Mr. and I'm asking you, there aren't 70 people out here. See how they, once the cameras are gone, they stop me from speaking. You see how that
no one's stopping you from speaking, but we will ask that you speak to the motion. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Fabra, nobody's throwing you out. We love having you here.
Mr. Mayor, you should thank him for the compliment.
I love you too. Fabrio Segovia, and then Susan McClure.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Fabricio Segovia, and I'm a former foster youth. And on behalf of the Children's Law Center, I'm asking this motion to be passed with the support it has obtained. For years, I have been using public transportation as a means necessary to travel to and from school, work, and home. With the recent raise in bus fare, it would surely help our youth save costs. Furthermore, it would most likely prevent youth from missing out great opportunities. Oftentimes, they have missed appointments such as job interviews because they weren't able to get to them on time and consequently are disqualified or not even considered. It is to our great interest that we also demonstrate our youth to be independent and self-sufficient. With no doubt, these passes would obviously ease our youth from daily stresses while at the same time learning to be responsible. Therefore, I truly recommend the passage of this motion. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Segovia, and your, I think, an inspiration to us all. Susan McClure?
Yes, good morning. My name is Susan McClure, and I'm an attorney at Public Counsel Law Center's Children's Rights Project, and we're here to wholeheartedly support this motion. Each year, we work with hundreds of foster youth and former foster youth working towards self-sufficiency. They're learning and struggling to live on their own and going to school, trying to finish high school, going to college, and look for a job. Without public transportation, access to transportation, this would be a major barrier for them to achieve independence. For example, one of our foster youth is a 19-year-old single mother living in South LA. She, on any given day, she needs to travel all over Los Angeles to drop off her baby, get job training, go to job interviews wherever she gets them, go grocery shop, and you know, hopefully visit her sisters who live all the way out in West in Whittier, and they are her only connection. So we really want to thank Vice Chair Antonovich for his leadership on this, and we really hope that the board will take this landmark step in supporting self-sufficiency for foster youth. Thank you.
Thank you. Veronica Galvez. Veronica Galvez.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak here. I represent the Community College Foundation, and we provide life skills classes and supplemental education services to youth in foster care. I'm also a member of the Guardian Scholars Committee at the Edelman Dependency Court, part of the Los Angeles Planning Committee for the implementation of AB 12, and I'm here in support of the easy transit passes for youth in foster care. These young people have enough challenges to face in their road to adulthood and self-sufficiency, and I believe that this will aid them greatly. Thank you. And I'd like to thank Vice Chair Antonovich for initiating this motion.
Yes, and speaking of Mr. Antonovich, Director Antonovich.
Mr. Chairman, this is a very important issue. As you know, the this is a very important issue. It's a vital issue for our foster youth because between the ages of 18 and 21, they are left without any life support system. President Bush, a few years ago, signed legislation that allowed the states to help foster youth. And as a result, California signed, had Governor Schwarzenegger signed such legislation a year ago that was passed by the state legislature to allow the state and the counties to be involved in helping our foster youth. This is a program where we would like to have the MTA direct them to work with the Los Angeles County Department of Children and Family Services to develop an easy pass so that these young people will have that opportunity of using public transit so they can go to school, so they can go to work. Because as you know, at the age of 18, without any support, you can't buy an automobile. You don't have the resources. If you could, you don't have anybody to co-sign your insurance. It's a very difficult position these young people have, and yet if they're going to stand on their own two feet, get an education, be independent, then they have to have the ability to have public transportation in the communities that we live in. So this is that type of effort to move forward, and I would urge a united vote on this effort.
I want to second that, Mr. Chair, irrespective of the fact that he invoked two names and sought to make this a partisan effort, I'm still going to embrace his vision.
Thank you, Dr. Ridley Thomas. With us as well as for comment is Director Katz.
What's your name?
Mr. Mayor, Chairman, members, I also support what the director is trying to accomplish here. I have a concern that we fashion the program in such a way that, you know, we know the fiscal implications of it and that it doesn't become another, you know, law enforcement officers 1 week or returning veterans the week after and things like that. This is a very specific program because of a state law, a transition law that Mike was talking about earlier. So what I would like to see when this comes back with the guidelines, with the city, with the county rather, and the MTA staff, bring those guidelines back to committee at the next meeting and that analysis, but not hold, we certainly don't want to hold this up. We want to put it through the process, but let's just find out the price tag and make sure that we're targeting the right, this one group of people as the supervisors identify.
Director Du Bois?
Actually, I'm good, thank you.
So with that motion, we'll send it to, I guess, the Operations Committee?
Yes, sir.
Operations Committee develop those guidelines and to cost out this program. Yes, sir.
The report will be to operations, but the staff's going to go ahead after this meeting and start doing it.
Right. Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just observe that this is a good program. It's a good idea. But there are needy people of merit in a virtually unlimited quantity, and we do need to assess the economic impacts of this.
Yeah, I think everybody's aware of that and certainly acknowledge that.
Mr. Chairman, I interpret the CEO's remarks to mean that they will move toward implementation with immediacy.
Has been moved to the Operations Committee, and thank you for that interpretation.
trying to help him out.
The esteemed Dr. Riley Thomas.
Help him out.
With us, item number 65. Comments, Brian Kuhn, City of Palmdale.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the board. Thank you for this opportunity to speak on this item today, and thank you, Supervisor Antonovich, for bringing this item forward. The Antelope Valley is one of the fastest growing areas in Southern California and is poised to be an important transportation hub with the Palmdale Airport, High Desert Corridor, Desert Express, and several other transportation modes coming together. We've spent millions of dollars studying and preparing for high-speed rail to come along the Bakersfield-Palmdale alignment. And we think it's important for the viability of the system due to the population and the ridership numbers and just for constructability. We believe the decision to restudy the Grapevine alignment represents a step backwards, and we thank you for your support.
Thank you very much. Director Antonovich.
Chairman, this is a major focus on the high-speed rail system, and Palmdale has always been up there, and this has always had the support of Santa Clarita, Lancaster, Palmdale, Southern California Associations of Government, Antelope Valley Transit, the High Desert Corridor, JPA, and the Desert Express high-speed rail. What we have here in Proposition 1A language, which was approved by the voters in 2008, specifically pointed out that Palmdale, by name, would be specifically having a station. And this makes explicit the authorities to the authority that the MTA's position supports the language that the voters approved in Prop 1A, that we support the high-speed rail through the Antelope Valley because it makes the most economic sense, ridership as well as transportation perspective within the region. This also supports our goals in relative to the Measure R projects like the High Desert Corridor, which would connect the fastest-growing region of San Bernardino County, the Victor Valley, to the high-speed rail system by train and car. It also supports a western United States high-speed rail system between California and Nevada by connecting the Desert Express that begins construction at the end of this year between Las Vegas and Victorville to the California system via the rail as part of the High Desert Corridor. It could also be a phase two to the Metrolink expansion on this as well. So it ensures that L.A. County retains a station in North County
as the High Speed Rail Authority said that there would be no guarantee of a station in the Santa Clarita Valley. And from looking at the maps and proposed alignments in the Santa Clarita Valley, it's clear this Tuwaya station could not be envisioned in that area. So this honors the commitment of the High Speed Rail Commission, and again, it has the strong support of that region of the county. And because Director Pringle has resigned, we're asking also that the Los Angeles County Commissioner represent this area to the High Speed Rail Authority that now has that one vacant position, and that the next meeting be held in the Antelope Valley, their public meeting.
Been moved by Director Antonovich, seconded by Director Katz, with no further comment and without objection. Such will be the order. Item number 60. Appointments for governance councils. Arnold Sachs.
Move approval of the recommendations.
Second.
The item, I guess Ms. Sachs is not here. Are you here, Ms.? Okay, thank you. The item's been moved by Director Fasana, seconded by Director O'Connor. Without comment or objection, such will be the order. Item number 61.
Good morning. A motion was introduced to provide no-cost service for uniformed Girl Scouts ages K through 12 on October 29, 2011, in honor of the 100th anniversary of the Girl Scouts. The accompanying adults would have to pay a fare. The board requested a report back on the feasibility and the impacts of providing this service. And what staff has basically found out is there's 40,000 Girl Scouts in Los Angeles County. There also is an event called Girltopia that happens on the 29th at the Convention Center. In looking at operations, we do not anticipate adding any service, so there are no increased service costs. And from a revenue perspective, even if we did offer the free fares for the K through 12 Girl Scouts in uniform, this revenue could be offset by the accompanying parents, so we don't anticipate any real revenue impacts. And again, in this particular instance, the considerations are primarily policy and precedence in nature. And that concludes my report, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Arnold Sachs, public comment? Hearing no public comment, Director Wiesart, and then Du Bois.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item came about because of we were approached by the Girl Scouts to offer the young girls in uniform free ridership here in Los Angeles during their October 29th Girltopia, celebrating their 100th anniversary. I thought it was a good idea, knowing that encouraging public transit use at an early age will build a long-term relationship with Metro and allow and encourage young people to use public transit. We wanted to put this in as a report back so we get their revenue and costs. We've heard from our staff this is not going to affect our revenues or cost us anything. In fact, I think in the long term it's going to help us if we encourage young people to take public transportation. And the accompanying adults will be paying, so when it goes through their minds how they're going to get around town, if they know their young girls in uniform will get a free ride, we would probably see an increase in ridership that day. We anticipate thousands of people to be in Los Angeles that day. I don't think this is in any negative way precedent setting where we will encourage other groups or make discounts for other groups. I think this is a once in a lifetime thing with the 100th anniversary of the Girl Scouts, and in fact it's going to only benefit MTA and encourage young people to take transit more. So I ask for your support. It's actually a report back, but I think if I could move this at this time, since it was reported by staff already, if that's possible.
I would, in keeping with former Chairman Kanabe's policy, which I think is a good one. I mean, I think there's no issue with this, no controversy, but sending it back to committee to kind of get us through the keeping to the process that we've had, I think is important. And I want to be consistent when I rule that issues of should go to committee. So if we could, since this is something that won't happen until October, there's plenty of time, and I don't see any controversy. I'd like to send it to committee. The committee can review it and bring it back. And with that, that's okay. And with that, Director Du Bois?
Yes, I hate to be the Grinch who stole Christmas. And I'm a former member of a local or of a Long Beach Girl Scout board, Greater
Which
Long
two?
Beach. No, Greater Long Beach on the board.
The board.
Girl Scout.
I was a Boy Scout.
My concern.
I was. And an altar boy, I'll have you.
They wouldn't let me.
I wouldn't even go there.
They wouldn't let me be an altar girl.
I
would have.
I have a concern that this is a wonderful thing to do for the Girl Scouts. I would hope that we don't continue it when another wonderful organization comes to town. I'm not thinking the Boy Scouts. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I don't know, an adult organization comes to town. If they're wearing their uniforms, do they get to go be on the bus? And ultimately, you're talking about parents, so okay, that takes care of some of the costs, but ultimately, you're going to be giving away free rides, and there is going to be a cost. So I would just ask this that this not be a precedent. All right.
And with that, not a problem. You're not a Grinch. You're.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Just own it.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Just own it. It's just.
So we'll, this matter will go to the Operations Committee and for a report back at our next scheduled meeting.
Thank you,
Director Wiza.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to be clear that we do have a policy that if items do come before us as motioned by board members, that you would like them to go to committee and not bypass them. Is that the policy that you talked about? Or
I want to make sure when there are issues. This is a non-controversial issue, and I expect, notwithstanding some of the concerns that were just registered, that this issue is just going to fly through. Yeah. But in order to be able to call them like I see them, in the course of the year, I want to continue what Director Kanabe has done, and that is that if it's a matter that's come here and not gone through committee, unless it's some emergency matter, we want to make sure that it goes through, and you have plenty of time on this matter.
Sure, cut.
So just move it to operations.
Got it. So the future, a better route would be get a report back to committee and then get it back to.
Yes.
Got it. Thank
That's
you.
True. And with that, this meeting is adjourned. Yes, well, I'm sorry. The recess to closed session. I apologize.
I did hold the minutes, and I made a mistake in. The thing that I just wanted to mention was on item number 5 that we passed where we approved the consent calendar negotiated bond sale, we had a very significant discussion as related to emerging minority firms here in California. Director Katz and myself were very specific in the motion to direct our staff to utilize those firms in addition to the large firms. Clearly, after the situation, the direction was not followed because it allowed firms that, from the East Coast as an example, that have an office here in Southern California or have a small room. I know it's tough, but we've gone through this from, I remember the days in the RTD till now, to really just stimulate to use some of our local firms as part of these big sales and not just some little sub down there getting a small piece of the action. And I'd really like a report back on the interpretation because Director Katz can back me up here that we were very specific in our conversation with staff at the meeting. And so I would like a report back, please.
Mr. Matsumoto's here right now if you'd like to. No, okay, no worries.
We'll have a report back at our next regularly scheduled meeting.
Yes, sir.
And with that, no further public
comment. Even to
comment.
Finance Committee and then to the regular
Finance
report.
Committee. And with that, thank you. And we'll move to closed session. Recess to closed session.
Mr. Mayor, can we talk to you about Mr.
Sure.
Press conference, Mr. Mayor. Right here. Mr. Mayor, can we talk to you about
over here, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, you have a heart to come here? Come on. Mr. Mayor, where are you? He ran away. He always loves Connor, doesn't he? Except today. He has a hearing problem. He only hears kitty porn people. Don't love to see the mayor run away from...